This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. How are we doing as a state when it comes to our emergency rooms and access to emergency health care? According to a report card recently released by the American College of Emergency Physicians, the answer is not very well. Michigan got an overall grade of D, 46th in the nation, and it's an emergency care environment. And we got an F, a failing grade in access to emergency care. Just why are we failing in access to this life-or-death care in our state? We're joined now by Dr. Michael Noss. He's a senior emergency room physician at Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit, and he's a board member of the Michigan College of Emergency Physicians. Dr. Noss, good to have you on Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
Well, the report card tells us that Michigan showed improvement in some areas, quality and patient safety, but we're really failing in access to emergency care. Just what does that mean?
Well, first and foremost, we want to make sure people understand that this report card has to do with the conditions under which emergency care is delivered, not the quality of the care that is given in every hospital in the state of Michigan. The specific issues with access to care have to do not only with access to primary care, but also access to specialty care. We are lucky in the state of Michigan that emergency medicine is an old specialty here. There's many training programs. Therefore, there are many hospitals that deliver quality emergency care. However, sometimes when you go to a hospital, the emergency medicine physician can stabilize you, but you may need access to a specialty physician such as ear, nose, and throat, orthopedic surgery, trauma surgery, hand surgery, and that's where Michigan is lacking. Our numbers and our availability to have these specialties on call and have them come in and see patients to the emergency room is lacking and is much less common and less available than other states.
And why is that?
Part of it is just keeping those specialties in the state of Michigan. Our medical malpractice climate is not as good as some states, especially related to emergency care and EMTALA-related care. EMTALA is the national statute that governs emergency care and deems that everyone who comes to the ER is provided a medical screening exam.
Okay.
But certainly some specialty physicians are concerned that the patients that they will see in the emergency room will typically have very complex injuries or complex conditions. They have no pre-association with the patient. They don't know their history. The surgery or the treatment they give may be more complex, such as a dirty wound from a firecracker injury is kind of the classic example.
Sure.
And so they're a bit hesitant to take call because of that.
And what other problems do we see with access to emergency care? So we've established that there are a good number of emergency room physicians, but we're lacking in those specialists that are needed for a lot of these injuries.
That is correct. Yeah. There's also issues with the number of staffed hospital beds. And so Michigan is below average in the number of hospital beds per 100,000 people in the state when you look at geographically around. Also, our number of psychiatric inpatient beds is very low. It's not uncommon to have patients in the emergency room for 24 or even 36 hours waiting for an inpatient psychiatric bed to come open somewhere in the Metro Detroit area. Patients are being transferred somewhat far distances to try to get that inpatient spot.
And this is really something that has been a factor since the 90s when Lafayette Clinic and Northville Hospital and other facilities were shut down.
Correct. There's been a big move to try to manage as much of this as possible as an outpatient. Mm-hmm. However, there are a lot of patients whose psychiatric disease is so severe that outpatient just doesn't work for them. They end up bouncing back to emergency rooms and kind of failing the outpatient treatment. Therefore, they need to go inpatient. And as you said, we've closed several large inpatient facilities in the state of Michigan over the last few decades.
What about Medicaid fee levels for office visits? Is that a factor in this problem with access to emergency care?
Yes. I know that certainly with the Obamacare going into effect in the near future, some of it has gone into effect now. This is going to be interesting to see how things go. We're getting some reports from the state of Oregon, who expanded their Medicaid a few years ago, that ER rates for the newly insured did go up. There's some conflicting reports out of the state of Massachusetts. When they expanded their Medicaid back about 10 years ago, some reports initially said the volume went up, some said it went down. Hmm. And so certainly we are concerned that having a lower than average Medicaid reimbursement is going to disincentivize primary care physicians from seeing these newly insured patients. I know the governor recently released a survey that stated, I believe, in the upper 80% of primary care physicians in the state of Michigan stated they would take new Medicaid patients. That is certainly a good thing. We as emergency physicians are excited to have patients who have more coverage. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that people understand, however, that having insurance doesn't equal access. There's several issues. There's access to emergency care, which is having the correct specialist on board when need be. Mm-hmm. But there's also access to care in general. Just because you have insurance doesn't mean a primary care physician is going to have an opening or a subspecialty physician is going to have an appointment for you within the time period that you feel is appropriate.
So somebody could call, you know, having, let's say, received insurance coverage now. So healthcare coverage, we've expanded the Medicare, Medicaid roles. So they've got insurance coverage, but they might not get an appointment for 2-3 months.
Correct.
So they wind up in your emergency room.
Correct. And obviously for us, you know, there is a lot of press out there about the concern of these patients and the cost of these patients coming to the emergency room. For us, it's not really a cost issue. Certainly, overall, that's a fact that plays a role. But you have to understand, we're already open. A physician is already paid to be there. Nurses are already paid to be there. It's just about getting the patient to the right place. Certainly, seeing a primary care physician on a regular basis who knows you and who knows how you look when you're well and who knows how you look when you're ill is advantageous in general. Also, to have a emergency physician see a patient with a minor care complaint, be it a sore throat, a cough, a bump, or a bruise, those are usually quick and easy. It's those patients who have more complex chronic medical conditions that we're really hoping will get primary care rapidly and regularly. So those patients with high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, things that could lead toward heart attacks, strokes, and things down the line.
So what needs to happen in the view of the American College of Emergency Physicians? So we have this grade of D in access to emergency care. What could fix that in the view of emergency physicians?
Certainly, upping the Medicaid fee for office visits would be helpful. Obviously, with the ACA, they're going to increase the Medicaid reimbursement over the next several years to reimburse at Medicare levels. Mm-hmm. That is certainly very advantageous. And I know that a lot of primary care groups, as the governor's questionnaire did say, they are going to accept these Medicaid patients. I know a lot of primary care groups are doing their best to have Saturday hours and late hours and things like that to try to avoid ER visits if need be. But other things that could be done is strengthening our medical malpractice climate. The Michigan chapter of the American College of Emergency Physicians have sponsored a couple bills over the last 2 years, one in the state Senate, one in the state House. It'll have to be reintroduced this year, basically looking to change the statute for malpractice for EMTALA-related care. From negligence to gross negligence, this is in line with Texas and what Georgia has done. This is in line with pre-hospital providers, EMS, because obviously the information that we as emergency physicians and EMS get from a patient is very limited. It's not uncommon, unfortunately, that we will have a patient who presents in cardiac arrest who obviously cannot speak for themselves, and we don't know anything about them, including their name at times.
So there can be things done legislatively?
Yes. I think, you know, this is a multi-pronged approach. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's the malpractice climate, which is a legislative issue. There is the Medicaid reimbursement rates, which is kind of a state issue. You know, so there's a lot of different things that can be done.
Also, I noted that Michigan got a grade of D+ in the area of public health and injury prevention. And one might conclude the higher the grade in this area, the fewer people will wind up in your emergency room needing care. What are the factors that contributed? These are seems to be lifestyle things that contributed to this poor grade.
Correct. This is also multifactorial. Unfortunately, over the last several years, our overall adult flu vaccine rate has dropped from 70-some percent down to almost 50%. Mm-hmm. You know, just within the last month, I admitted two patients at the hospital who were influenza positive. Both were dialysis patients. So these are people who are touched by the medical system on a regular basis, and somehow they did not get a influenza vaccine. That may or may not have prevented their disease, but it's just if any population is going to benefit from full vaccination, it would be, you know, the elderly and those with chronic medical conditions. And so certainly flu vaccine, pneumonia vaccine for patients over 65. Michigan, unfortunately, also has a high smoking rate and obesity rate that contributed to this. And then also our change in the helmet law. Certainly, that's received a lot of press over the last several years, and there's some studies coming out now that the deaths have increased slightly and the serious injuries have increased slightly as well.
Dr. Michael Naas, emergency physician at Henry Ford Hospital, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.